And it's been a year since more than 8,000 people died in that devastating earthquake in Nepal. And an elder from a remote village recently visited a high school in Hartford, Connecticut. He came all that way to thank students for providing his town with wind and solar power to make electricity. David DeRoche from Here and Now contributor WNPR has this story.
Welcome.
75-year-old Thin Lee strides into a classroom at Hartford's Academy of Engineering and Green Technology, wearing a burgundy robe and a matching winter hat. Students and teachers welcome him with bows and prayer hands. He has white silk scarves as gifts for the amateur engineers, his way of saying thank you for their gift of electricity. Speaking through an interpreter, he also thanks the students for bridging two cultures that are worlds apart.
He would like to thank all for all that the connection that we have built together to make something better.
Shaisha Washington didn't expect that she'd ever meet someone from Saldong, a tiny Nepalese village that's nearly 3 miles above sea level and close to the border with Tibet. But the high school senior was part of a class project that designed, built, and delivered solar panels and wind turbines to Saldong and two other villages.
It's really cool because he actually took time to come all the way here to meet us. And he didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do it personally.
24 students from the public high school academy developed renewable power systems for the remote villages of Namdo and Karang. In 2013, 8 students did the same thing for Saldong. Their teacher, David Mangus, says the students had to think about everything, from design to transportation and impact on wildlife. And he wanted them to figure it out on their own.
They think that teachers should tell them answers. A lot of times we don't know the answer. That's what's scary about this kind of thing, is that you don't know what the answer is going to be. It could go in different directions, and that's all part of the critical thinking process.
One major problem the students had to solve was this. How would they get a ton, literally over a ton, of high-tech equipment into one of the most remote places on the planet?
We had to yak pack everything.
Shaisha Washington says they had to design their power system so it could be disassembled into parts small enough to be carried into the mountains by yak. And in the process, they also coined a new term, yakable.
It was a lot of tarp and duct tape and learning new knots. So we had to think about, if we make it this way, is the yak going to be able to carry it?
Local philanthropies raised $100,000 so the students could build and deliver the 750-watt system, which traveled from classroom to truck to plane, to another truck to another plane, and then finally to yak last September, for a 5-day trek into the Himalayas.
We did a lot more stuff than we set out to do.
That's Pravesh Malik, who was a student at the University of Connecticut when he helped the high schoolers on the first energy project. Malik went to Nepal to oversee the delivery of equipment that would power the entire community.
We set up a maternity ward. We're saving children's lives and mother lives. I mean, can anyone say that? No, right? No, you don't get to say that every day. Hey, I'm helping save lives of mothers and children.
In addition to the birthing center, the students' project powers a school, laptops, and a copy machine. School officials say they want to continue the relationship with Nepal, but as for the next project, it may or may not include delivery by yak. For Here and Now, I'm David DeRoche in Hartford.